This morning's reading is from the prophecy of the New Covenant, chapter 89, God's appearance at Epiphany. In the 21st year of the great work, the man in company with the companions of the way and the general community in assembly at the Rectory Abbey awaited the coming of the sun on the morning of January 6th at Epiphany. On this 12th night after Christmas, following a midnight meal of fellowship, they turned to the reading of Scripture. Towards dawn, they celebrated a communion service and liturgical expression of the breaking of bread and the taking of the cup. The man officiated in the dress of his office, a vestment of white linen with golden insignia of God's cross of enlightenment, reading the sacred liturgy to the accompaniment of sacred music played on handbells. While breaking bread and taking water, the man asked that God prepare the celebrants to receive the true bread and the true water of heaven, the image and the word of the divine presence at the rising of the spiritual sun, and that God endow the material bread and water with special blessings to give them health of body, peace of mind, and spiritual strength by which to do God's will in his divine plan for human salvation in the second advent. Following the service, the assembly went outdoors to meet the rising sun. While anxiously waiting for the sun to emerge out of the shimmering mist enshrouding the sky, each remembered the sacred day of the year before. On that day, when all had gathered at the sanctuary, they had observed a display of brilliant light, while the sun assumed strange and wondrous shapes. All had observed the transformation of the sun into geometric configurations, from a circle to a square, to a shape of six sides, and then to one of eight sides, and finally to a pinched or trefoil figure, a clover leaf of three lobes, progressing to a four-lobed shape. The eyes of the beholders filled with awe at this phenomenon, and they described the event as the sun of Epiphany, for this was the handiwork of God. Epiphany, a celebration that has its roots in the early Church of the East and is much older than Christmas, derives its name from the Greek word meaning manifestation. Originally, the celebration of Epiphany commemorated the incarnation of God's Word in Jesus at the Jordan. The Eastern Church had long recognized this date as the birth date of Jesus, and not December 25th, the winter solstice celebrated in Rome by the Mithraic cults that rivaled Christianity for several centuries. The Western Church later recognized Epiphany as the date of the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles on the 12th day following the increase of light on December 25th. This date was also celebrated in ancient Egypt as part of the birth mystery of Horus, as the day on which the virgin Kor gave birth to the Aeon. It was also celebrated in Arabia as the birth date of the son of the virgin, the alone begotten of God. At Alexandria, an all-night vigil was celebrated with prayers, song, and music before an infant covered with golden crosses lying on a cradle in an underground crypt. Near to dawn, the devotees went out into the pre-dawn light to meet the rising sun, celebrating the event as the hour of the manifestation of light at which the Aeon was born of the Virgin of the World. The old religion of Egypt, whose priests had instructed Plato, was known to the Greeks, the Therapeutae, who were in similar in many ways to the Essenes of Palestine, taught a theology that embraced the concept known to the Egyptian religion that an intelligible essence, the gnosis, was emitted as a ray of light from God's spiritual sun. This light, the logos or word, was the firstborn of God that illuminated the souls of those living under the true way of law, giving them life, light, and reason. Thrice greatest Hermes, founder of the Egyptian religion, had bestowed upon the land a sacred scripture, a trismegistic literature that instructed the ordained, the hermetic followers, the sons of God, a race of enlightened beings in the transformation of the soul. The hermetic followers had a knowledge of the cosmos that was a divine inheritance, which they guarded over and kept secret from the profane. No mortal intellect could understand it, and in not understanding would corrupt it. The race devoted themselves to the life of light, in purity and righteousness, inspired by heaven's beauty manifest in the outpouring of the spiritual sun that enlightened their minds and souls and filled their hearts with splendor. This noble race lived under the laws of a distant golden age. They looked at the sun each dawn, praying to God to send forth the true sun, to shine upon the souls of all men and women at the dawning of an endless day. The Hermetic religion was older than that of Moses, even older than that of Osiris and Isis. The ancient records of the Hermetic religion were carved on sacred tablets in symbolic signs known only to the race. It was taught that the tablets would be repossessed by a future race, for the knowledge had been engraved in the cosmic elements and would be interpreted and taught again when God would illuminate the cosmos with his image and word in the true sun. It was also taught that with the loss of the divine doctrines, man's mind had been clouded. He was asleep, drugged, and blind to all light. Awaiting the sun, the man thought of the different religions of the world and of the truths each had preserved that could be traced back to the earliest of times before recorded history, when religious truths had been perpetuated by oral traditions handed down from priest to initiate, from father to son, within a framework of religious law. He thought of the similarities of these truths and of the dates, feasts, and celebrations that followed a calendar, which, though honoring persons and events differing in name from one religion to another, occurred at the same time of the year. The celebration of Epiphany was a good example of this. The church ranked Epiphany with Easter and Pentecost in the 4th century, but its date of celebration was much older than Christianity, as were the other two festivals which had been held sacred by the Hebrew and other religions. Epiphany had been celebrated in the ancient religions as an appearance or manifestation of God. Why the same date? The man asked himself. Was the day or hour of a particular date timed to coincide with a cosmic occurrence, a cyclic event fixed by the earth, sun, and stars, or more importantly, by some heavenly cosmic clock? All religions claimed their own dates for religious celebrations and gave them names of their own founders or gods. However, these days or times appeared to be universal, days and times that would outlive any particular religion or name of prophet or god. The man reasoned that if all religions, all names of prophets and gods, all scriptures and revelations were to be suddenly effaced from liturgical calendars, from recorded history, if civilization were to disappear and humankind were thrown back to a primitive or barbaric state, religion would be reborn, a revelation would be given, God would manifest or appear similarly to the way he had before and on one of these same dates. This would explain why Epiphany had taken on a significant role in the Second Advent Church. January 6th was the time of an appearance, when God had incarnated his word in the Son, just as he had incarnated in Jesus on that same date nearly 2,000 years before, and has had occurred before in Egypt with the birth of the Aeon. The man's thoughts returned to the previous year when members of the community had stood on the summit of a majestic height at the North Sanctuary, and he recalled the impressions that had come to him while observing the Second Advent Sun of Epiphany. Not since the first appearance on February 2nd In the year of Jamil's passing from the world, when he had appeared in the sun to proclaim the advent of God, and his incarnation and appearance in the spiritual sun, had the man observed the sun in such grand display. On that day, the sun had been brilliant beyond description, surrounded by a rainbow of colors overlaid by a white cross. He reflected on the event of the year before, when he had remembered the words of the resurrected child, who, accompanied by the four guardian angels of the Lord with Jesus and the apostles, had spoken to him out of the sun. This was the child, the Son of Man, spoken of by prophets of old, who had come not as a savior, but as a messenger, heralding God as Redeemer and Savior of the world. God was manifest as divine light in the cross of enlightenment, the image and the word. The man had faithfully reflected to the sun over a span of 25 years, 3 years prior to the child's birth into the world, 3 years during his lifetime, and 19 years following his appearance in the sun on February 2, 1962. During the period of his wanderings in the Andes and the jungles, he had been obedient to the teachings, devoting himself to quiet contemplation of those things revealed. He had endured many sufferings, yet he remained firm in his faith and in his knowledge of the true Son manifest. The man was resolved to keep the teachings pure and uncorrupted, denying the whole teaching to the many who came to him seeking health, long life, and personal power by means of the secret doctrines, whilst refusing to be obedient to the disciplines of the order. He saw the period of his wanderings as a blessing, for it had given him time to ponder the significance of the appearance of God in the spiritual sun. His wanderings had also isolated him from the world and had taught him the benefits that could be realized through obedience and devotion. While looking at the sun at Epiphany that year before, he had observed a change. He had detected something beyond the changing configurations apparent to the eye. It was as if he had been looking at the eye of God, and from within that eye, the radiance of the inner soul, a flashing of light that radiated goodness and divine love. This was a new aspect he had not experienced before. The love that he reflected to God within the image of light was now being returned. The changing shape and form of the sun discerned by the eye was the result of that divine manifestation, a symbology impressed upon the soul of the beholder. It was evident to him that the sun had taken on new dimensions with the appearance of God's love. A living dialogue could be established between a human soul and God within the spiritual sun, but it was God who manifested to that human soul, not the soul to God. And these were the thoughts that filled his mind. And on this holy day of Epiphany of God's second advent, the struggle between the sun and the mist ended with a glorious bursting forth of sunlight. And as it had done before, the solar disk danced about the sky, first as a circle and then as a square. Ascending higher above the horizon, it assumed various geometric forms. The man looked deep into the bright orb, opening his soul to the ray of God's true sun, that spiritual substance emitted from a higher world. And within that light, he heard the word impressing the consciousness of his reasoning soul. The churches have forgotten the teaching of God's beloved Son, Jesus, whom he sent into the world as interpreter and teacher of sacred law. On this very same day, God's image and word incarnated in Jesus, so that the churches may never again forget what God has ordained for the world. He has incarnated his image and word in the sun, which shines equally on all peoples everywhere. Heaven, therefore, becomes the instructor of the churches and of the world. On this hallowed day of God's appearance, bountiful blessings manifest to the holy ones of light of the Church of the Second Advent, founded by his word. To those unified in community and holding to the law, God sends forth the comforting spirit of his image. As the church has been restored, God will restore those blessings given to the first church, now in apostasy, and make sacred those holy days that are kept in remembrance by the old churches, but which are not alive with God's blessings. In commemoration of this day, let the community gather together once each year, in remembrance and in fellowship. God will baptize all assembled in the spirit of his holiness. God gives an unmistakable sign from heaven in the new sun as a mark of his advent and divine presence. Let all behold the signs of God manifest in the heavens and know that their new ministry is by God's authority and that he has come to judge the world. This day is a day of confirmation of God's appearance, a day of blessing to strengthen the good against the powers of darkness and to empower them to teach. And the man experienced the benefits of this loving blessing in God's spiritual Son of the Second Advent, and he knew that it was the dwelling place of God. God was removed neither from the human race nor from his church. The divine light was commingled with the material light of the Son, a place where God reveals himself. Goodness and truth were manifest as they had been in former times. The golden age, and in those times when holy ones inspired of God's image and word, had sought to restore goodness and truth to the races of the world, but failed because of man's rejection of God.